Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Time now for KJ and Barrett. It's KJ and Brian Barrett on EEI.
So I look for the Celtics to upgrade at the one and the five, even at a high-level backup or maybe a low-level start at the center. I think those will be their biggest needs. So I know they'd love to get a guy like Andre Drummond if he is bought out. I don't see a trade happening there necessarily with Cleveland, but look for an eye. Look at the buyout guys, Drummond, potentially JaVale McGee.
Hour two of KJ and Barrett on WEEI. Thanks so much for hanging out. 617-779-7937 or 37937. Ryan McDonough talking about what the Celts need to do at the trade deadline because they need to do something.
Yeah, they need some help. I just don't feel like that big fish is out there that's going to completely change the trajectory of that team. That's why I think Ryan McDonough, a former Celtics executive and was most recently with the Suns, I talked to him earlier this week. I think it's more likely that they do something on the periphery or on the buyout market because I don't see them swinging for somebody right now. That player is not really available. It appears Beal's not going to be traded. And quite frankly, what do the Celtics have to offer the Wizards for Beal in a deal anyway? They don't really have the package to put together. So maybe it is just one of these smaller moves. The issue with the buyout market, right, when he mentions these guys, wouldn't you rather go to the Brooklyn Nets if you're getting bought out and you're going to play for basically a minimum salary? Because well, that's what you're doing if you get bought out.
But the Celtics have to make the move now because next year players can determine, like, look, I'll take much less to go play with those three. So your only real chance right now to make that run at the Nets is with your exceptions that you have now. So you have to do something now. I think with a 500 record, it doesn't make it very appealing to say, like, hey, I'm ready to go there. I think I'm the missing piece because there are just some pieces that are missing, I think, inside that locker room that has this team just mediocre.
Yeah, that's why I think it's more likely that Danny's going to keep his powder dry and try to use that trade exception in the offseason and try to go, at this point, what are you going to do? Like, there's nobody out there that should be taking that $28.5 million exception, right? Who's the player right now the Celtics could actually legitimately trade for with that exception? Now, maybe you use some of it, but I just don't see the guy that's going to be available. Like, it's not like there's another star that's out there. And Andre Drummond, you're not trading you're not using the exception for that guy.
I mean, come on.
Because he's a free agent after the season, and he's not that good. Like, that's the issue. If he gets...
He's not that good? 17
no.
and 15 a game? Okay. That's what the Celtics are missing.
But hold on. Look at how he...
We're not asking him to come here and drop 20
but he has. Okay, but he is a losing basketball player throughout his career. He has never added to winning, right? So he's 7 feet, 280. If you look at... So that means... The center is the most important defensive position in the NBA, right? I think we agree on that. You look at his defenses through the years when he's in Detroit and Cleveland, the anchor... 24th, 22nd, 10th, 11th, 13th, 21st, 25th, 23rd.
Those are two of the worst teams you could think of.
But he's the anchor of the defense, right? If he's the anchor of the defense, you should be better. Not to mention the fact, what would be the idea of bringing Drummond in for? Embiid, right? Embiid owns that guy. He can't cover Embiid. So what's the point of bringing him in if he can't cover Embiid?
But that's one more guy you feel like you have to cover when you still have Tatum and Brown. If it's just Tatum and Brown.
No, you don't have to cover Drummond. He sucks on offense.
Huh?
Have you watched the guy play? He sucks. He hijacks the offense, too. He starts dribbling around. Like, you should see these highlight videos going around of Andre Drummond. It's unbelievable. The guy thinks he's a point guard. He's never... And even his rebounding, right? So he's getting all these rebounds, like 13 and a half a game.
Yeah.
His team never has been top 10 in the NBA in rebound rate. So he's not a team rebounder.
Did you say the two teams he just played for?
Right, but if you were that good, you should be impacting winning. You
can't do it by yourself in the NBA. Days are over. Unless you're LeBron.
Disputing that, but you have to actually impact winning in terms of making. I'm fine with them on the buyout market. I'm just not giving up. If you use $28.5 million to trade for Andre Drummond, you're not beating the Nets. You're not beating the Philadelphia 76ers.
But you're not beating them right now.
Okay, but what's the damn point? Why don't you just roll that over?
You don't get another shooter. Oh, God, if I hear J.J. Redick mentioned one more time.
I don't want J.J. Redick either, but I'm saying why wouldn't you just roll it over? Like, when I look at where this team's at.
Because then, in essence, you're saying you're going to roll over the season. Who would you get?
What I would try to do is keep the trade exception going to the next offseason and try to trade for a disgruntled player rather than Andre Drummond.
But we're talking about this season. You think?
Yeah, but why would I want to waste $28.5 million on a player that Joel Embiid mocks on social media? Every time Joel Embiid plays that guy, he owns him. So what's the point? Like, that's the reason you'd be getting a big man is because of Joel Embiid, right? He's not a rim protector. He averages 1.2 blocks per game. Andrew Wiggins averages more blocks per game than this guy.
Yeah, but Wiggins is a duplication of Jalen and Brown.
I don't want Andrew Wiggins. My point is that if you're 7 feet, you should be blocking more than 1.2 shots per game. He's not a shot blocker. He's not a good defensive player.
But there's a rebounding problem here.
He's going to make the rebounding problem worse because he just chases everything. He's like Rondo on nationally televised games where he used to chase assists. Remember that? He wanted the triple-double so he would have open layups and not take them. That's what Andre Drummond does. So I have no problem with him. Like, I'm not telling you he's the worst player in the world. If he gets bought out and the Celtics get him here, fine. I'm not wasting $28.5 million on him, though.
617-779-7937. Ralph in Cranston, you're on WEEI. Go ahead, man.
Hey, guys. I agree with you with Drummond. If Drummond was the final piece, I could say, you know, yeah, I'd like to see him. I've got to tell you, today's game, I would take a little peek at today's game because, you know, they don't really have to make a move right now to win the championship. That's not what we're asking. We're asking this team to play cohesively, and it doesn't play cohesively. It looks great one night. It looks horrible the next night. But I'm going to tell you, you know, I look at this New Orleans team they're playing now. Guys that interest me on this team, number one, Steven Adams. Well, actually, number two, Steven Adams. Number one, Lonzo Ball. He plays defense. He now finally learned how to score. They said he went with some shooting expert or something. Look, he shoot 47% from the field this year. Ball plays really good defense. He's kind of like a poor man Simmons. He intrigues me. Adams is a big, tough guy in the middle. He doesn't make a lot of money. He's averaging, what, 9 rebounds a game. He can cover and beat much better than Drummond can. And, you know, a throw and a kick in might be Redick, too, with that. Like, those three and maybe the second-round pick, I would give Walker. I'd give Thompson. I would give, Tremont Waters. Maybe they want Langford and or Carson Edwards in a second-round pick. And do a deal like that because I think it would make them cohesive. It would make them so much better defensively. And Redick would be there in case you need a shooter off the bench. But they have to get cohesive. Don't look for this guy that's going to give you a championship. That's not going to happen this year. And I love keeping that exception for next year too, guys.
Thanks, Ralph.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty much unloading the whole team.
Well, the other part of that is who wants those players from the Celtics, right? I mean, Kemba Walker has a contract right now that unfortunately is not tradable.
It's unmovable.
You can't move on from that contract. Who the hell wants Carson Edwards? Who wants Tristan Thompson right now, right? Like, it's not like those guys are getting you anything in return. And that's where I think, unfortunately, what Danny Ainge has done over the past couple of years, which has really hurt this team, is he's overplayed his hand. For years, we heard about the Memphis pick and the Kings pick. Well, it turned out that those were both the 14th pick in the draft, right? You end up with Romeo Langford and Aaron Nesmith. Now, I'm not saying those guys can't play. Nesmith at least showed some flashes as of late, but for years, that was supposed to be a big-time asset. Danny never cashed him in, right? And we can go back to the Miles Turner situation, so that's why you're in this spot. So what I believe this
is... But even with the Miles Turner thing, I think Gordon Hayward was more interested in not going home, right? I think there was an assumption that he would want to go back home to his home state and play. Sometimes you just don't have that desire to be bothered personally.
Yeah, but how come that deal was on the table, though? Like, Shams Charania from The Athletic reported that deal was on the table for Danny Ainge. It was Miles Turner and Doug McDermott for Gordon Hayward. And then Hayward said, you know what, I'm going to take the 120 because Danny was taking too long and he wanted to win the trade. That's what Danny Ainge has constantly done. But I just look at it from this perspective, KJ.
And Hayward had limited leverage at the time.
If this team wants to make a move in the future to add that third piece to Tatum and Brown, and we still have to see what Kemba does. He played well last time out, and you're hoping you just get that guy to the finish line, right?
But you don't think that they don't start addressing possibly moving Kemba next season?
If he plays well, yeah, I would get off the contract if you could. But I look at it from the perspective of, if you want to get the third piece in here, right, whether that be Tatum's really good friend, Bradley Beal, or Karl-Anthony Towns, who's going to become disgruntled in Minnesota with the situation right now.
Towns makes more sense. I mean, Brown, Tatum, you're really talking 2-3, even though you play Tatum at the four a lot. Either you're dealing with a point guard that can score, distribute effectively, but, you know, what does that do to Brown if you're bringing in Bradley Beal? Like,
well, either way, like, I'm just saying, like, those are the two names that could become available.
I like Karl-Anthony Towns as a name.
Okay, so here's my point with Karl-Anthony Towns. If you are going to trade for him, you need to have something to trade. See, the Celtics for years had this treasure trove of assets. That's not there anymore, right? You look at New Orleans, they have 13 first-round picks over the next couple of years, right? Like, that's a team that if I'm Minnesota, I'd want to do a deal with because I have all these opportunities to draft. So if I'm the Celtics right now, what they need to do is get value out of these young players. So if I was the organization and if I was Danny Ainge, I'd be telling Brad Stevens, like, Nesmith's got to continue to play. Romeo Langford, when he comes back from the injury, he's got to get a lot of minutes. Robert Williams, who was great the other night, but we don't see that consistently enough, he's got to play minutes because if you are going to swing for the fences in the offseason and try to make a big play, like, those are the guys that you have to get value for. Those guys have to play better because right now, unless you're trading Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, which I don't advise doing, who are you trading, KJ? They don't have any assets.
There are
no
assets on the team. And that, like, literally that exception is the one sitting piece, but someone would have to be willing, especially if you wait until the offseason, to say, I want to go there. I think that's why you have to kind of spend now on it. Because if you at least find a third piece, let's just say I know.
Yeah, but there's no market for Drummond, right? It's only a buyout market. Nobody's going to give up something significant for Drummond. So I would just wait. I mean, you can get a guy like Drummond. There's going to be a bunch of guys, centers that are bought out, and those guys are a dime a dozen. Like, Drummond's not changing the trajectory of this organization. That's why I wouldn't use an asset like
that. So what if he becomes like a Boogie Cousins situation? Let's say he comes here and he starts to turn things away around the way that Boogie Cousins started to. So now you have potentially when Boogie Cousins started to turn things around.
Yeah, when was this?
Well, I mean, they've turned back, but when you...
Well, he just got cut. I mean, he's on the buyout market. He just got cut by the Rockets, yesterday? He's actually played well as of late, too.
Right. So there's a potential option where you probably don't have to use as much. You could probably use the Cantor exception on him.
No, you don't need to use anything. You can just say, hey, if you want to come play here, you can come play here for the minimum, right? The Lakers, the Golden State Warriors, all these teams, like especially the Lakers since they lost Davis, if they want somebody to come in and play center, he was on the Lakers last year before they got rid of him. He costs you nothing. You can pay the guy the league minimum. He got bought out. I mean, the Rockets got rid of the guy. He's out there for anybody that wants him. So I wouldn't use $28.5 million on Drummond when all these centers are going to be bought out at the buyout market. So I wouldn't use an asset like that on him.
617-779-7937. It's KJ and Barrett on WEEI. Charlie in Arlington, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? Hey, so if the Celtics really want to shake up this team, you know, they're going to have to really consider trading, you know, Marcus Smart, I think, you know, and even they're going to have to dangle even like a Jaylen Brown. I mean, if they want to, you know, get to a chance where they can kind of have a 2 to 3 year window with a couple of veterans alongside Jason Tatum, that's really what they're going to have to do. I mean, there's really no other way. I mean, they don't have the talent as constituted to win it right now, and the only real assets that they have to trade are really, you know, Marcus Smart and probably Jaylen Brown, because I think you could probably, you know, if you're going to choose between Tatum and Brown, you know, Brown would probably be the one. I mean, I was curious what you think, because that's the only way that they can really, you know, significantly improve the team in a short period of time. Otherwise, it's just going to be a continued, you know, as is for a few years, and they're just going to have to hope that, you know, things get better.
Charlie, thanks for the call. He does bring up something interesting, because when all the Harden talk was going on, the person they wanted the most was Jaylen Brown. So at least you're listening to what a team is having to say regarding getting Jaylen Brown. I would not want to part with him at all. Just because
I don't know who the player out there would be in the offseason that you would want to trade away Jaylen Brown for? Like, I feel like in this league, those are the two most important. You have two of the most important players in terms of you have two wings, two-way wings. Like, I want both those guys to be part of the future. But his point is right about the fact that, in all likelihood, they're going to have to shake things up. They got a million guys that are young on this team.
Right.
A million guys that played in Portland last year. I mean, how many guys? I mean, this year, think about how bad this is. They didn't have enough roster space. So they draft Desmond Bane, but they have to trade him. Bane's having an outstanding season for Memphis. So Danny wanted all these picks for all these years, never really traded any of them away except in the Kyrie Irving deal. Like, pretty much, other than that, he didn't use a lot of those draft picks to actually acquire like veteran talent out there. So he still has not pulled the trigger. And now the problem is he doesn't have a whole lot to work with to be able to trade. But I think their best hope is they have to have internal improvement with some of these guys to make it appealing for other teams to actually do deals with you. Because the problem now is other teams across the league have more value and younger players to be able to trade. And the Celtics are now, it's amazing to think about, they don't have those players to be able to trade unless you're really shaking up the core and getting rid of Brown. I mean, and I don't want to see them do that.
Right. I just look at the roster and I just see a bunch of duplication of unproductive players. You know, the Jeff Teague experiment looks like that's already over, right? So it's like you have guard and like a lot of smalls and nobody's really looking for that on the, you know, there's nothing that the Celtics have outside of the superstars that would even be a complimentary piece to whatever they have going on. There's nobody on the roster. Maybe Tristan Thompson in a cut situation, right? Like, okay, this guy can give us 10 minutes, the Lakers or something like that. You know, like, there's nothing there.
Yeah, there's nothing for Danny Ainge to trade. The other thing I would say about the Celtics, and in particular with Tatum and Brown, they have to be better because as of late, they haven't been where they were to start the
season. Those guys are worn out.
No, I agree with that, and I think it's got to be aggravating that Kemba takes off all these back-to-backs, and Jalen's playing through tendonitis. He's playing on back-to-backs. Tatum, earlier this week, talked about he's having some of the after-effects of COVID. He's playing every game pretty much outside of the games he missed due to COVID. So they're trying to carry the team. And Kemba Walker's, you know, we don't know when he's going to play. He is playing today, of course, but he doesn't play in back-to-backs. But I think about this just from a pride perspective. Over the past couple of weeks, you think about some of the losses the Celtics have played. That when they lost to the Jazz, Donovan Mitchell is the best player on the floor. Well, Tatum and Brown, you're supposed to be better. Like, you're supposed to be the stars of the team. You look at on Wednesday night. Now, I understand they beat the Hawks on Friday, but Trae Young was the best player on the floor. I go back to the Sacramento Kings game. De'Aaron Fox was the best player on the floor. Like, if you guys are who you think you are, which Tatum's a max guy and he was all NBA last year, Jaylen Brown in all likelihood is going to be an all-star this season. So you guys got to outplay some of these guys. That's a pride thing. Like, your two best players, they've been great all year, but they have not been great lately.
Well, Clint Capella grabbing like 15 rebounds Friday night and like 13 on Wednesday night, I think is the bigger problem, right? Because if you can't have anybody address the rebounding situation and Tatum and Brown are really your rebounding guys 7-8 a game, that's too much. So if you're rebounding and you're trying to be all the scoring, your defending is going to suffer. And I think that's why they look really tired, Tatum and Brown, because there's no other help.
Yeah, well, and they don't have any rim protection. This is something we've had a conversation about for the past couple of years. Danny Ainge said he was going to address it in the offseason. He really didn't. Tristan Thompson has not been that guy whatsoever, and that brings us back to the whole Miles Turner situation. But they're missing something without Smart on the floor. And the thing
did you ever think you would say that and think about it in an offensive way as well?
Well, that's the issue. That's my worry right now, right? Yeah. Because without Marcus Smart, their defense has slipped 4 points by 100 possessions. But here's the thing that really scares me about Smart coming back right now, unless Kemba goes on a tear before he comes back, and he did play well the other night. Marcus Smart's going to come back and he's going to channel Marcus Smart from the bubble, and he's going to try to save the team. He's going to try to be, hey, you guys need me. You sucked without me, right? I mean, their record with Kemba is well below 500. You guys need me back. You guys need me to be shooting. And here's the issue. Like, I don't know if Marcus Smart is wrong about the fact that he's the third best player on the team now. Like, he probably thinks he's the big three with Tatum and Brown. And the issue is he's not that great of a shooter. He's going to come back. He's going to hijack the offense like he did in the bubble. That's my fear.
And
my
his
fear
defensive is, plus minus has been off this year.
He has not been the same defender. I mean, just watching him. If you watch him play, I don't remember a game this year where Marcus Smart took on a matchup and said, hey, you're not doing this. I'm shutting you down. And that's the issue I have with the Celtics as well. Like, when these guys come in here and they start putting up 40 points, who's going to stop Trae Young? Like, somebody needs to step up. There's going to be pride on that side of the floor.
Yeah, 617-779-7937 or the text line 37937. It's KJ and Barrett here on WEEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is KJ and Barrett on Sports Radio EEI.
Look, getting that seventh Super Bowl obviously mattered a lot to Tom Brady, and Bruce Arians came out after the game and said, you know, he wanted to try a different way, and he was eager to prove that he could do it a different way. And that different way is obviously, you know, out of New England. And, you know, the system that they've created over the past two decades that has been wildly and historically successful, but that I think started to wear on Tom the past couple of years. And finally, he just needed something different. And, you know, as we all know, you go to Bruce Arians, I mean, that's about as different as you can get from a Bill Belichick system. And, you know, when it comes to Bill Belichick and watching Tom win the seventh Super Bowl, I mean, I doubt that he was surprised at all, but that it burned quite a bit.
Yeah, I know that scares you too. I know how you feel. Just like
KJ and Barrett, WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out. Seth Wickersham talking about Bill understanding that Tom probably was going to do well when he left. Just couldn't pay him. Or wouldn't pay him.
Yeah, Look, I know Seth Wickersham has been dialed into the whole Brady Belichick situation for years. He wrote that piece 3 years ago about some of the friction within the organization, and everybody around here was poo-pooing it at the time, and it turned out, oh yeah, he was actually spot on. He was right about that. But when he says that Bill wasn't surprised that Tom won a Super Bowl, I'm not buying that whatsoever. I believe he was very surprised that Tom had the season that he had and that Tom actually won a Lombardi Trophy the year after leaving him, because why else would you not keep him around if that was the case? If you thought you had a guy that was still capable of winning the Super Bowl, you should be doing everything you can to keep the player. I believe Bill just misjudged the player because of how bad his own roster was. In 19, his roster sucked. And let's be real, Brady didn't look good. What we're finding out now, it wasn't about Tom. It was about the offensive lineman not being good. it was about the weapons not being good. But I think when Bill internalized that and evaluated the player, he said, Tom's not that good anymore. I mean, going back to the 18 Super Bowl run.
Well, he had to know that Tom would do well going to all those weapons, right? Like, literally,
I think
Tom went into a situation saying, if you cut over the turnovers down in half from our last quarterback, we'll win everything.
Yeah, I believe that Bill thought that Tom would do okay, but I don't think he thought that he'd be winning a Super Bowl in year one in Tampa, because if he thought that guy still existed, why wouldn't he be here? Bill's been trying to build to help, to kind of build away from Tom for the past couple of years. You go back to the 18 run they made to the Super Bowl. Remember what happened prior to that season? They traded away Brandon Cooks,
yep,
his deep threat, right? And they started to do this run-heavy thing at the end of the season, and that's what really catapulted them into the Super Bowl. And now Tom saved them against the Chiefs in the AFC title game. But Bill clearly didn't believe in the player anymore, that he could be the alpha and the omega and carry an offense. And Brady went to Tampa and completely proved Bill wrong. So I believe Bill was shocked and surprised that Tom made the run that he did.
Maybe the run. I think you'd have to look at it two parts. Tom would do well this season. Then getting into the playoffs, Bill probably thought, yeah, he can win it, right? Because literally Tom is the physical specimen or the result of Bill's brain, right? The way the Patriot way has been kind of been played out down in Tampa, those players are really bought all in. That's Tom putting his own stamp on what he learned here. So I think that's where Bill said, well, yeah, I could see him winning it by really taking a formula mentally down there.
Yeah, but if that was the case, right, if Bill actually thought that Tom would go to Tampa and he would win at a high level, then this makes it even worse that he let him go, right?
Because now Bill, the GM, isn't spending.
Right, because not even that. It's just if you actually thought you still had a high-level quarterback, it's not defensible to let him go. That's why I think Bill was surprised that Brady had the season that he had, where he had 40 touchdown passes. I don't believe that Bill thought Brady was capable of that anymore, because it makes it even look worse if Belichick actually believed Tom was still going to play at a high and elite level, right? Because he played at a high and elite level this season. So if you decided to move on from that player, that's just unforgivable, right? So what I think Bill did is he misjudged it. He didn't think Tom had a lot left in the tank. He thought that Tom was not going to be the same player that he was for the majority of his career, and it would start to dip off, and Brady would eventually age, which it doesn't appear that's ever going to happen. So I think he just misjudged the situation. It makes it worse if he actually thought Tom was going to go somewhere else and succeed, because then it makes it look like, why the hell didn't you do everything you could to keep the player?
Yeah, but I'm thinking, if you're Bill at the end of 19 and you're looking at everything in front of you, you're probably thinking there's a better chance of Tom getting hurt and not performing by keeping him than him going off somewhere, and where that somewhere may be, you just
don't
know.
But why would you predict, why would he think to himself, yeah, there's a good chance Tom gets hurt? Why would he ever think that?
Well, because
Tom never gets hurt. When's the last time he's been hurt? 2008. I mean, he's having a knee procedure this offseason, but he's never really been hurt. The only time he's missed games, four games for Deflategate back in 16, and he missed basically the entirety of the 2008 season because of the torn ACL. Why would Bill think, this guy that's been durable his whole career, he's going to start to get hurt? Now, I do believe Bill thought Tom was breaking down and Tom was not going to be the same player anymore in terms of
prone to potentially get hurt, right?
Well,
think he's breaking down and your O-line is breaking down, you don't have weapons, the ones you have, they're breaking down.
But what's better, having a Tom Brady that could potentially get hurt having crap at the quarterback position?
That's an obvious answer, right? You'd rather have 50% Tom Brady than 100% of a lot of these guys that are out here now. You give that, but when you're making a financial decision for the organization, you're thinking, and you've never, okay, so maybe there was a bit of abuse, I think, going on in terms of Bill's mind, because you've been able to get away with these different things, Tom renegotiating deals, renegotiating, and then finally when you know that Tom says, hey, look, there's not going to be anything else, this is what I want, no ifs, ands, or buts, he just wasn't used to that, so he figured he probably has to say no. Bad move, horrible move. It's going to go down as one of the five worst moves, you know, in 10, 15 years from now. You say some of the dumbest moves Bill Belichick's letting Tom walk is going to be in the top five, especially when he wins the Super Bowl the next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a horrible look for Belichick, and I don't know how you come back from something like that until you find the next great Patriots quarterback. Like
it's going to take time. I don't think there's going to be the next organically grown quarterback.
Well, the issue is that Tom was in a position where Bill could have taken care of him before this, right? Like, he could have found a way to keep Tom Brady before it came to this.
That's the abuse.
And here's the other thing that I would point to is, you knew basically before the 19 offseason, before the 20 offseason, you knew Tom was leaving. He told you that he wanted the power not to be franchised, and you guys, you and Robert Kraft, gave it to him. So if you're okay with letting Tom go, you need a plan. Your plan can't be Stidham, Hoyer, and then Cam Newton at the end of the offseason. That's the issue I have.
Tim, 617-779-7937. It's KJ and Barrett on WEEI. Tim, what are your thoughts on Belichick moving on from Brady?
Great show, guys, by the way. Doing a great job on a Sunday. I just wanted to say that, yeah, sure, Brady had it physically, but I think Belichick knew that he didn't have it mentally. And by that, I mean, he wasn't motivated. He knew that Brady mentally had already moved on. And Belichick was ready to move on as well, so it just wasn't going to happen this year. That's it. I'll listen to hear you guys talk. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. You ever hear the saying, familiarity breeds contempt? And think about it. Who else in the history of the league has had the same head coach and the same starting quarterback for 20 years?
Yeah, nobody.
Nobody. So everything that's happening is like a first. And so for them, Bill and Tom, it's kind of like, Tom is probably sick of this. Bill is probably thinking, where is my out? Right? It's like that perfect wormhole that shows up. Now, Tom winning the Super Bowl, it makes Bill look extremely dumb. Extremely dumb. But when you've been together for that long, sometimes you're like, I wonder what it's like with someone else. Yeah, I wonder what it's like with someone else. Tom was always going to have the leverage in that someone else, because Tom could say either, I don't like the offers and I can retire, or I like the offer and I know what can get done with this team. And Tampa was the perfect situation for him. Perfect.
Yeah, well, I think the other component of that, too, though, is that if you look at where Brady was at in his career, the reason that maybe he looked checked out, as a lot of Patriots fans would point to in 2019, he said he was the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in the history of the sport. Well, that's on Bill, because Bill's the one that, after he won the MVP in 17, didn't give him an extension. After he wins the Super Bowl in 18, didn't give him an extension. So Bill made him that way. Bill made Tom sing for his supper after leading this organization to all that success. So Bill has nobody else to blame but himself for how that whole situation played itself out. That's on Bill. That's not on Tom. You made it that the greatest player in the history of the sport wanted to leave your organization.
Well, you know, it can be very tough when in one organization you have two GOATs, right? The greatest coach of all time and the greatest player of all time. And where do they clash? You know what I mean? Like, when you're the greatest coach, every player should be bowing down to you in some regard, except for this player over here, who's the greatest player of all time, and he happens to be there. And so, sometimes you hear it's very hard for sons to move back in with their dad, because their dad is kind of like, look, I'm the king of the castle. But you had two kings in the castle, and one of them had to go. Bill in Framingham, what are your thoughts?
Hey, guys. My thoughts are this. Professional sports teams are lucky when they get a player like LeBron James or Bobby Orr or Larry Bird or Tom Brady, because fans will pay and pay overpriced to go see that player play. Now, you actually couldn't come up to me and say, here's a free ticket and $100 for me to go sit there in any kind of inclement weather and watch this New England Patriots team. I think that they stink. And I don't, all these people that try to make excuses for Belichick, well, he can do this, he can do that. What he did was ruin the team, and it's going to cost the Kraft organization millions and millions of dollars in fan revenue, because that place is like a mausoleum unless it's a big, important game.
Bill, hold on, though, Bill. Come on. You're defending the Kraft empire, if you will. If Robert Kraft wanted Brady to stay here, he could have. He could have had Brady sign a contract 2 years ago and said, hey, Bill, we're moving on from you. We're sticking with Tom. Or unless you want to get on board and agree to the contract that Tom wants to have with us, well, then you can stay. But if not, you're going to have to get the hell out of here. Like, Kraft is not without blame in this situation. I don't know how he gets off the hook.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I think he's just as much. They screwed this up so bad that I could care less. I'll never go to another game as long as Bill Belichick's associated with this team. He ruined it for us New Englanders to watch the greatest athlete ever finish out his career here because of his self-importance, his arrogance, his cheapness, whatever it is. He ruined this team, and it's going to take a long, long time to come back. He's more than one linebacker or one wide receiver away from even being a respectable team.
Bill, thanks for the call. Yeah, that's what I was saying. You can't have two kings in the castle, and I think that's what Bill decided.
Well, how can you not? You had it for 20 years. How can you not have two? I don't get that analogy. You can't have two kings in the castle. You're the one that mentioned earlier.
Well, because
like how
Bill
long,
was because Bill was always playing the puppet strings with Tom's contract. That's where Bill always had one step over all those prorated bonuses. That is absolutely ridiculous. Tom Brady's got to play for prorated bonuses. That's absolutely crazy. So Tom says this is the one time in my career that I have the chance to be free. So he probably said no prorated bonuses. You're going to give me. This is the guarantee, and this is the guarantee for being on the roster.
No, but you're right. When you say, like, you can't have two kings in the castle, that's implicating, like, there has been an issue for the
add Robert Kraft. That's three.
Well, yes, Robert Kraft is somebody that should get more blame than he does. I don't know why it's just all on Belichick. But my point being is you had opportunities to keep it together. See, I think the biggest indictment on Bill is he screwed up a football thing. I'm not talking about the relationship between him and Tom. He screwed up a football thing by not putting together a good enough roster in 19.
Football operational thing.
Yes, by not having a good enough roster in 19, you misevaluated Tom Brady. You thought that he was pretty much done. That's part of the reason you let him go is because you thought he was done. And I would also go back to this. Albert Breer reported earlier this week that Brandon Cooks was essentially traded for Jimmy G. So in 2017.
How do you do that when Tom is still the quarterback? Like,
well, what do you think? Why do you think they would do that for Jimmy G then?
So that's one of those, the one king in the castle is going to show how they still have control over it.
No, this has nothing to do with the king of the castle. This has to do with he was going to move on from Tom, and he was bringing Brandon Bill. Cooks in for Jimmy G, right? So then Brandon Cooks has a great season for the Patriots, over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, highest reception yards per reception in his career, and Bill trades him after the offseason when he was good with Tom. That doesn't make any sense. If you still had Brandon Cooks around, who Brady really liked, that could have helped at least show Bill that, hey, Tom can still do it.
Phil in New Hampshire, 617-779-7937. It's KJ and Barrett. Phil in New Hampshire, go ahead. You're on WEEI.
What's up, boys? I got to tell you, I'm starting to develop like an unjustifiable hatred of Brady from listening to all the crying going on because Brady left. The reality is, like, all right, the locker room was starting to get split up to the point where it was, you know, you're either with him with me between Tom and Belichick. You can't have that. In every measurable metric, Brady was bottom six in the league in his last year on the team.
Yeah, but why was that, Phil? Why was that? Why was he so low in those metrics?
Oh, all right. Well, when you have young receivers who ran a wrong route 3 weeks ago still being punished when they're standing wide open, you'd rather throw their opportunity into the stands.
Well, Phil, how did those receivers do with the new quarterbacks this year? How'd they do? They did well, right?
Well,
Harry was great.
We had a guy with a – let's be real here. Yeah, I'm sure you're going to admit that, you know, Cam Newton has a broken arm, basically.
Right, but do you think Nikhil Harry's a good player? Do you think Mohamed Sanu was a good player?
All right, but listen.
I think the jury's still out on
Harry. Do you honestly think Deion Branch was an elite separator? Do you think that? Or do you think that Tom Brady spent time working with him and developing chemistry when he was young and helped make him a branch off of the Tommy tree? Do you think that's what he did? He developed the young receivers. He was checked out after the Atlanta Super Bowl because he knew that Jimmy Garoppolo was the
Phil. It's a good point,
throne.
Phil. No, you
and
make
Brandon
it. Phil,
Cooks
Phil,
was there for him.
Phil, you make a good point. You think Brady was checked out after the Atlanta Super Bowl? The next year when he won that thing, it's called I don't know MVP. He was checked out when he threw for 500 yards in the Super Bowl, and he was the MVP of the league. That's a good point that he was checked out. Then
no,
I
he was
I could
checked
definitely
out
tell.
On the team. Stop with the stats. He was checked out on the team. He was not invested.
I didn't
in the
cite
team
one
anymore.
Stat. I said he was the MVP of the league.
You said he threw 500 yards in the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah,
and
he did.
Again, stat wise, he's gonna perform. He's Tom Brady, but don't think that he didn't. You think he really stopped?
Yeah, when he was Phil. You know when I Phil, hold on. You know when I thought he was checked out? Remember when he was down by 10 points in the fourth quarter against the Jaguars, and Gronk was out, and Edelman wasn't on the team because of an injury, and he came back against the best defense in the league that year? I thought he was checked out.
That was awesome. That was awesome. Remember
he was checked out.
No, that was awesome. I won't ever say Brady's not – young Brady's my favorite quarterback of all time. But old Brady, when you're at a podium 8-0, sitting there saying, like, the most unhappy, you know, quarterback. That's not the Brady that we were developed into loving.
Yeah,
we
I'm like with you, Phil. Hey, over, Phil, I'm with you. Phil, I'm with you, man. Appreciate the phone call. I'm with you. I hated old Brady, the one that came back against the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl, the one that came back from 28-3, the one that came back against the Jaguars, the one that had three consecutive third and tens against the Chiefs in overtime. I really disliked that guy. I hated that Brady.
It is the old Brady that's pretty much put him in, like, the greatest of all time.
He's had, like, three different Hall of Fame careers.
Yeah. But in fairness to Phil's call, there was something had to be going on behind closed doors where, beyond performance, sometimes they say you could be great on the air, but how you operate around people in the office, it doesn't matter how good you are on the air. They see you as a problem in the organization, and they'll figure some things out. I'm not saying for sure that's what that is, but sometimes when you perform on the field, it doesn't necessarily mean that's happening inside the organization. And the Jimmy G situation, I think that was just literally like walking in and catching someone in the bed with your woman. Like, that must how Tom felt. Like, hey, wait, for everything I've done for this franchise, you go get this guy. You're flirting. You mentioned the Brandon Cook situation. You're now bringing in people for the backup guy. What is that about? So you might be a bit checked out around the office. You might, Tom at the water cooler isn't the same Tom that used to be at the water cooler. And so from Kraft and Belichick situation, and it's now how Bill paints that, he might say, you know what? Tom is just not going to be a leader for these young guys.
What young guys?
The, like, ones we saw out there this year.
N'Keal Harry blows. The guy can't run a route.
Yeah, but that's 2 years in with two different quarterbacks, and let's just throw his
this year. Wait, are we actually having a conversation about, like, N'Keal Harry's good?
I'm not saying he's good. I'm just saying the jury is not completely out on him.
Okay, this is what
he's had two seasons.
If A.J. Brown was drafted by the Patriots and Tom saw that guy on the practice field, he'd be like, yes, I'm going to throw that guy the ball. Remember, he threw the ball to Malcolm Mitchell in the Super Bowl when he was a fourth-round rookie.
Yeah, but Tom, his 2019 was, I think, Harry may have, like, 20 catches? Maybe.
Yeah, well, he was dealing with an injury at the beginning of the season. He came back, and he. Right. Why is Tom supposed to throw him the ball if he can't trust him? If he's not in the right places, if he doesn't pick up the offense, that's on Tom.
Right, but at the same time, Harry's going to be on his third quarterback this year, right? So that's the other part of it. It's like, okay, yeah, he's a first rounder.
Yeah, but if you can play, you can play. I mean, Allen Robinson played with Blake Bortles, Mitchell Trubisky, and Nick Foles.
But last
Terry
year,
McLaurin played with Dwayne Haskins and
Alex. None of the receivers had
Smith.
A chance to show what they could do. None of the receivers.
Get open. They don't get open. I mean, that's the issue. If you don't get open.
The ball wasn't going more than 10 yards out of the yard.
Okay, Jacoby Myers got open.
Okay, maybe some familiarity there, but still.
With who, Cam? Like, Jacoby Myers got open. Cam can only throw to guys if they're wide the hell open. Okay, so when you look at it from that perspective, the reason Cam could throw to Myers is he's wide open. N'Keal Harry wasn't wide open. He doesn't get separation. He's slow. He doesn't run good routes. I mean, to blame Tom for N'Keal Harry, it's ridiculous.
I didn't say it was Tom's fault. I'm just saying, you're a rookie, you're coming in, then you're expecting, like, hey, I look forward to playing with Tom Brady again next. I could have that relationship
with
him.
Okay, but
if there
was any part of the thought process to move on from Tom because he didn't work well with N'Keal Harry, that is
insane.
No,
that's too simplistic. In other words, you have a locker room full of young guys.
He's talking about Tom didn't develop the young guys. How about the fact that the young guys may not be good?
Look, it's one thing to be an organizational cheerleader, and it's another thing to be a guy who's the organization and having nothing to do with anybody else. Like, I come in, I do my job, I leave. It doesn't make anyone better. Eric in the car. You're on WEEI. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Eric. Thank you.
Hey. So I had to jump in here. I just called. So you use the analogy of someone being great on the radio but may not be great roaming the hallways, right? So I don't know how you could possibly attribute that to Tom Brady, right? The guy has had so
but
many
you
players
know what,
over the years.
But you wouldn't know what was going on. You don't know what was going on in the office when he was there. You don't know that because he's not here. So clearly, there was something going wrong inside of the office. There was clearly something going on wrong in the office between Bill and Tom. That's why Tom's not here.
And you stepped in. I hadn't said anything yet. I had just all I did was set the table, and you stepped in and just cut me off because you're louder to the airwaves than I am on my cell phone. Can I talk?
Yeah, get your point, Eric. I want to hear this.
So think about Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. You've seen receivers leave, right? Donald Driver, Jennings, Finley, who have talked crap on the way out, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And have had something to say.
Yep.
That has never happened with Tom Brady. in 20-something years. So for you, that would be out. That would be out. If Tom Brady was this like tyrant walking the hallways, we would know about it. You can't just throw accusations out there like that.
I didn't say the guy was a tyrant. Sometimes you just be disconnected. You know, you come in, you do your job, you get out. And the young players, they're the ones that are still here. Those guys are still here.
Maybe the last year. But a lot of those guys weren't. Like, a lot of those guys, maybe this past year, the rookie receivers, because they're still in the contract. But years before that, there was never any noise of that. Everyone's wanted to play for him, play with him. Like, I think it's just such, like, a crazy acquisition for you to say. What happened was, the team wasn't great. He understood that. Belichick understood that. And he was upset with the team's ability to bring talent in. And then he was proven right. Sanu was cut. N'Keal Harry's been terrible. Like, he was right. In 2019, his thoughts on the receiving core were correct. He has been able to play with young receivers in Tampa because he sees the talent there.
Eric, thanks for the call, man. Danny and Quincy. Danny, go ahead. You're on WEEI.
Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, why do we have to keep beating this dead horse? Can we just maybe think that the two didn't get along anymore? Belichick and Brady didn't get along anymore. Tom Brady became an institution. He became a one-man company. So you had two, like, I'm a captain. That's what I do for a living, maritime, right? You can't have two captains on the bridge. Can't have two chefs in the kitchen. It was time for them to depart. I don't understand. The ability doesn't matter. After a while, when you start butting heads, it's between the boss and an employee, the product on the field is going to suffer. I just, yeah, Brian, I don't understand why you can't understand that. And it's just, can you just take a step back and think about that for 1 second?
Well, Danny, here's their point, though. This is the issue that I have, is if you look at it, there was clearly more meat on the bone with Brady if Belichick had just taken care of him years ago. What we saw and what happened in Tampa this year, we saw that Tom's still capable of playing at a very high level. And it was Bill's fault that he failed to misevaluate the football player at this point in time. I'm not talking about the personal stuff, Danny. I'm talking about the fact in 19 he put such a crappy team around Tom Brady that when he evaluated Tom, he thought that Tom was about to fall off a cliff like Max Kellerman did.
I never heard Belichick evaluate. I didn't get that impression at all.
Then Danny, Danny, hold on. Let me ask you a question. If Bill still thought that Tom was capable of winning a Super Bowl, why wasn't he still here?
Because the personality thing would get in the way of it. That's what I'm talking about. And when you have a it's hard to judge when a player is going to be done. Belichick, I think, made that decision when he wanted Garoppolo over him a few years ago.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady got this guy can turn it on and off. I mean, if you challenge Brady, he turns it on.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets stale and he gets not complacent, but if things get a little stale around him, he can check out. Now, let's just make one thing clear, a couple of things clear. Kansas City game, you keep bringing that game up. He threw a pick. The game was over. Dee Ford lined up offside. That would have been how it would have ended, okay? He dug himself in a hole against Atlanta and Seattle.
Yeah, you're talking about when Bill's defense in the second half got shredded by Mahomes, too. I mean, let's be fair, Danny.
Either or. It's one or the other.
Let's be fair.
He threw the pick. The game was
okay,
over.
Okay, Danny, but let's be fair. Look at what Pat Mahomes did to Bill Belichick's great defense in the second half.
I just want to put it in context because it never gets brought up. The Miami game, when everybody – it's always the Belichick defense. Brady threw a pick six in the Miami game, okay, a couple of years ago. I'm just telling you.
Week 17.
It never gets brought up. There's never any balance. It's one or the other. I've been critical of Belichick in the past. I don't always stick up for him, despite what many people think. I have had my issues with him as well. I pointed out.
I've never heard those. What are your issues with Bill, Danny? I've never heard those.
Oh, plenty. 2015, six different times you won the toss deferred, and before the end of the half, you had a chance for a double score, went into the locker room with a knee. Okay, there have been plenty. Bubble wrapping the whole team against Miami that 1 year, and when the time where we left Gronkowski out there to defend the miracle of Miami.
I've been
very critical. Very critical. But let me ask you this, Brian.
Okay.
Out of all the coaches in the NFL, tell me who you'd rather have. Tell me. Look at all the bonehead decisions these coaches made.
Danny,
not only in the regular season,
Danny,
but in the playoffs.
Danny, Danny,
look at how many coaches made. Andy Reid, the great Andy Reid. Look at what he did. Frank Reich, the Colts against Buffalo. He blew that one. I mean, you could get on the list of all the bonehead decisions that LaFleur with Green Bay. Terrible. Give me a replacement. I'm all ears.
Danny, I don't want to replace.
I'll tell you what. Let's get his replacement. Let's answer Danny's question. We come back from the break. We got to take a break. We're hard up against the break right here.
When did I say that Bill should be fired? Like, what is he talking about?
Address him when we come back from the break. B.
All right.
It's KJ and Barrett on WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to KJ and Barrett on Sports Radio EI.
KJ and Barrett on WEEI. I guess that's perfect music since Kim and Kanye divorced.
Oh, yeah, they're getting divorced.
Yeah, Tom and Bill divorced.
I really thought those kids were going to make it. I really did.
They still got a lot of chance to show promise. Man,
Kanye's
go ahead.
Kanye's nuts.
Go ahead. Well, yeah, you don't call your mother-in-law Kim, Chris Jong-un in public. You just don't do that, as any husband would know. Like, say that to a barrel of hay or screaming in a barrel. Go ahead and address Danny what he was just saying about you before we went to break. So I want you to...
Well, I don't even know what I'm addressing. I never said that Bill should be fired. I never said that.
He wanted to know who else you would want to have as the coach of the Patriots.
I never said to move on from Bill. I don't know where that came from. My only point is this. We can acknowledge when Bill makes mistakes. Like, for example, he didn't have an accurate assessment of the player, Tom Brady, because Bill screwed up his roster so bad in 19. His team was so bad on the offensive side of the ball that he couldn't accurately figure out how good or not good Tom Brady was, because clearly what we saw when Tom had the necessary weapons, and that's the biggest thing that Tom did, he chose correctly going to Tampa, we could see that Tom is still capable of being a top five quarterback in the league. And the issue that I have with Bill more so than anything else, what was the plan? If you're going to get rid of Tom, you need to have some sort of plan, and clearly he didn't have one.
617-779-7937. It's KJ and Barrett on WEEI. Andy in the car, thanks for calling. Go ahead, man.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just find it very interesting that everyone seems to be in a Bills camp or a Brady's camp. And they can't, you know, I'm a big Patriots fan all my whole life, love the Patriots, still root for the Patriots, and I love Tom Brady. And I was happy for him when he went to Tampa Bay and was successful. And I was ecstatic that he won the Super Bowl. It doesn't diminish anything that he did with the Patriots. In fact, it enhances it to me. But to me, yes, Bill made a mistake. And he made the mistake because he didn't believe that Tom would be able to play at that level at that age. And he didn't believe it when he drafted Garoppolo. But right. He was proven wrong, and he dumped Garoppolo. And he kept Garoppolo. I mean, he kept Brady in there, and he made the mistake again. But it's an excusable mistake. Brady is the only guy who's ever played at this level at this age. And I think most coaches would have made that mistake. And it's a forgivable, and I don't understand all the kind of vitriol against Belichick, who's been great for us for all these years.
Andy, thanks for the call. I agree. you make your first big mistake after 20 years, and it's the biggest one you can make, but it's still a mistake.
I don't believe, though, that most other organizations would have moved on from a franchise icon like that. Like, for example, the Lakers, at the end of Kobe Bryant's career, coming off a torn Achilles, gave him a contract extension, right? So I understand that Bill was looking...
But that's also the same Kobe that was trying to force his way to Chicago. So
No. That happened probably 10 years prior to that.
But still...
That happened in 2007.
But what I'm getting at is the relationship...
This is two different Kobe parts of his career. I'm talking about the very end. He tore his Achilles. They gave him a two-year contract extension worth almost $50 million because they wanted him to end
as a
Laker. Basketball's
a little different than football. Football, you're talking about sport where there's virtually no care. Like, if Joe Montana could be gone, anybody could
be gone. Derek Jeter was pretty much done at the end of the career. They kept keeping him in New York. They gave him the extensions that he wanted. That's my point, is when he said most teams would move on from the player. No, they wouldn't. And that could have been a good thing for Bill if he was actually right about Tom, but he was wrong. So that's my point, is most teams, when you have a franchise icon, you keep them around and you let them finish their career there. Most other teams would have kept Tom Brady. Any other organization most likely would have kept Tom Brady.
Emmitt Smith wearing the 22 for the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, that was Emmitt Smith wanted to break the rushing record.
But they didn't keep him in Dallas. So football is a different sport in terms of from A to Z.
Yeah, but you would acknowledge Emmitt Smith wasn't good anymore.
Well, yeah, but still. If
Tom
it was
Brady
about,
was still good,
but if
and
you're
Bill
using the examples of Jeter, who's, you know, was depleted in his last years, and with Kobe with the, you know, the torn Achilles.
Right,
and,
but that's my point, is the Yankees right. and the Lakers are two of the biggest sports brands in
Cowboys,
the world.
Cowboys, same thing.
Okay, but they're two of the biggest sports brands in the world, and they kept their guys there to the end. My point is this. Most teams around the NFL would have not moved on from Tom Brady after 19. They would have brought him back, because the other portion of this is he's better for business. He's better for business for the Patriots. Tom Brady is good for business. So from a business perspective, it was even a bad idea, especially when you don't have a guy that's ready to come in and be the quarterback after Brady. See, that's the whole thing that doesn't make any sense to me. When Belichick gets rid of players, he has somebody to step in, right? Let's just take one example, Chandler Jones. He didn't want to pay him all that money. Okay, well, everyone's like, how the hell are they going to replace Chandler Jones? He had Trey Flowers ready. With Tom Brady, I don't know, the most important position in professional sports, oh, well, yeah, we got Stidham and we got Hoyer. Oh, we'll take a shot at Cam in the summer. Like, they didn't have a plan.
All right, 617-779-7937. It's KJ and Barrett. We're going to take another quick break. Be right back. We'll talk about where does Stidham fit in this. Drafting Mac Jones, that's been a talk at 15. Give us a couple minutes. We'll be right back here.